TJSideways.com podcast. Here is your host, TJ Buchenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming to you from the Engine Pro Studios, just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Joining me tonight, co-host Trevor Hollis, back in the co-pilot seat. Trevor, good to have you back.
Hey, thanks for having me again. It's been a busy few months, but good to be back in the swing of things and talk racing during the long, cold off-season up here in Michigan.
Off-season, with air quotes, because there is no such thing in this office. We'll get to that in a minute. So where we've been, you had a baby. Well, you
did.
Your wife did. You didn't. That'd be a modern medical miracle. But congratulations.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, we got a very, very healthy, just turned 3 months old yesterday. I don't know what I was thinking. I got ripped down pretty hard for having this during the racing season, but it is what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Healthy and happy. That's all that matters.
Yeah, we both, not to get in our day jobs too much. We both changed day jobs around. So that was part of it. I've managed to squeeze a couple of these in interview-wise since we last spoke, but now we both have our head above water. Season's kind of wound down now, but, around here, it's called the off-season. There is real no off-season because the news cycle keeps going, and there's still plenty to talk about. And, Trevor, we've seen some racing schedules announced, some race dates and full schedules come out the past couple of days.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because it seems like it's coming out a little bit earlier and earlier every year. I think the normal accepted one was always PRI, at least for, the big sanctioning bodies, the World of Outlaws and USAC and stuff like that. But things have been trickling out a little bit more. And, the other thing about it is these tracks that have been announcing their big shows throughout the last couple of months. I think of some of the big dollar shows that they've talked about, and it's kind of forced the hand a little bit in the way of those big promotions.
Well, it's a good idea to get this stuff out early because I don't know about the way your job's situated, but I know the way mine has been in the past. The vacation requests have to get in earlier and earlier every year. And if you want people to make the hotel reservations and the commitment to go to your major event, you have to get it out there early.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense. More and more people are going to short tracks, which means more and more people have to coordinate schedules and get everything taken care of. And you're exactly right. I couldn't have said it better myself, is that you got to give these people time. You got to make plans. In today's day and age, you have to pick and choose what events you're going to go to. And sometimes that means sacrificing traditional events. And I'll speak for myself. It used to be a while ago I wouldn't miss the King's Royal or the Four Crown Nationals, but more and more I'm trying to go to different shows. Went to Kokomo last year, trying to go to some different shows in Michigan, maybe not open wheel, but just trying to get around a little bit more. I guess sometimes the novelty wears off of going to the same place over and over again.
Yeah, and some of the things we have seen come out this week, Knoxville Raceway released their first draft of their entire schedule for the 2018 season. Not a whole lot of major changes. Your standard fare of 410, 360, 305 racing as the anchor of that. Obviously the Knoxville Nationals, the 360 Nationals, the late model Nationals, all in their traditional locations. The one shuffle was the 410 wing sprint cars are back on National Sprint Car Hall of Fame weekend, and USAC will be 1 week later, the week after the Hall of Fame inductions.
Yeah, it's... Knoxville is such an anomaly in the sprint car world, though. They could have a show anytime, and they're going to get great cars. They're going to get great fields of drivers and great crowds as well. So Knoxville really, they have an opportunity to be unique and releasing their schedule a little bit early. Hey, it's a good move on their part.
Yeah, they've done it the past few years like that. And Kendra and everyone over there, and John McCoy, everyone's done a great job over there. And really glad to see some of the things popping up. The one thing, though, that's kind of interesting, though, is they're working with Jackson Motorplex. And part of the replacement of that USAC date was to work together with them to not have Knoxville running 410s on Jackson Nationals weekend, and that happens to be this year, the week after the Hall of Fame inductions. But I think it's kind of neat. Actually, it works out okay because, there are wing sprint car guys and non-wing sprint car guys and, a lot of different backgrounds being inducted that weekend. So having the wing 410s, maybe every other year, maybe switch it off isn't a bad idea.
Yeah, I'm looking at the schedule. I'm sliding through the schedule right now, looking at it with you here and splitting them up. But it's interesting because you're seeing more and more tracks that are willing to put them together too. So you could I could see both sides of the coin. Split them up, have them run on the same night. A big, you know, even a weekend card. I don't mean to be a dead horse, but Eldora Speedway, they'll run the World of Outlaws the Friday night before the USAC cars come on for Four Crown. So, you know, putting them together, it seemed to be that years ago that was forbidden, or not forbidden, but frowned upon, and you didn't want to cross-pollinize.
They just didn't
want to
work
like
together, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
And now everyone seems to be rowing the boat a little more in the same direction. More of a sign of that was Williams Grove announcing today that they are part of Eastern Storm again with the USAC National Sprint Cars, and they're putting their 410 Sprint Cars on the same program, their week-week program. So you get to see the PA Posse and the Best of the United States Auto Club there. That's going to be an incredible show.
Yeah, Pennsylvania is the other one that no matter what they do, they're gonna fill it. They have the rivalry, the perceived rivalry of the posse versus the rest of the racing world, I guess you could just say. It's such a unique thing, and it's such an awesome thing that they milk it. They really, really maximize the effect of it, maximize the conversation, and I would love to get over to Pennsylvania. That's next on my bucket list, to see some of those shows, whether it's Wing, Non-Wing, World of Outlaws. I would go for a local Friday or Saturday show just because they're that good.
Yeah, and this will be neat. That they've cultivated Eastern Storm over the past decade. That's one of the mini series that stuck and worked. And when they first started doing it, it's the one that everyone said wasn't going to work. And I'm just credit to all those promoters and USAC and sticking with this, because a lot of times you'll do a big event and it may not hit the first year the way you want it, but they cultivated that and they saw it through. And now it's one of the most anticipated weeks of the year. And this year they're getting more of a geographical stretch, some more area involved with Bridgeport joining it. Also Ransomville, New York joining that tour as well. So it's expanded. It's going to be five pretty big nights out there on the East Coast. Also, the other announcements, you know, you kind of look forward to different things, and the World of Outlaws are starting to leak out dates. We're starting to hear the World of Outlaws schedule might even come out before PRI, but the Outlaws and, it's kind of amazing. They're going to go back to Lake Ozark Speedway to the Fairbury American Legion Speedway. And Trevor Hollis, that one kind of caught my attention. I'm like, Fouls, World of Outlaws, Wednesday night? Yeah, that might have to go on the list for something to hit up this year.
Hey, you mentioned that to me earlier today when we were kind of preparing for the show, and I could just sense the excitement from you on that one. And I'll be honest, I'm not incredibly familiar with Falls. Heard about it. It's got a great reputation. It's kind of another one of those secret racetracks that everybody loves, but you don't hear it bragged about. You know, yeah,
you don't hear about it as many
coverage of Knoxville or.
Yeah, maybe because it's a late model track primarily. I mean, you know, it's big in the late model mm-hmm. world. And they've been taking steps. They've been booking more sprint car shows every year. About like a decade without one. And even that decade ago, Jeff Converse from High Vista Video came back to me and said, "You gotta go to Fouls. This place is amazing." And even before that, I had some friends in Coldwater that used to drive from Coldwater, Michigan almost every week to go see late model shows there. And they would just be like, "Man, you've got to go by." I've been by it. I've actually been to the track. I've driven by it. I've actually driven to the facility. But I've never actually witnessed a race there in person. And that's one I may have to knock off the bucket list this year. I've got two of them right now. I haven't been very good at my bucket list the past 5-6 years. I haven't knocked much off it. And I think it's time. There's two of them on there right now from what I'm hearing. Not all of them are released yet. That one is. But there's two of them that are obtainable, I think. And that's one of them. And it's a Wednesday night, so there's not going to be a whole lot else running against it. So you never know who might show up. A quarter-mile racetrack like that could be highly competitive.
I'm starting to realize what my dad told me for so many years about having young kids and just don't even create a bucket list at this point. But now that my oldest is that age where we can start taking him to races, I'm starting to get into that. I'm starting to think about where I could go. You know, I want to go back down to Kokomo. I want to go back down to that early April race, because that's before my weekend gig up here in Michigan starts back up. You know, another show that kind of interests me, and it's just because it's not that far of a drive for me, is the Sprint Car World Championship at Mansfield.
Yeah, that
is that something that, I would want to go to.
That's a wild card right now. You know, that event, yeah. Yep. You know, it, with the weather, that's going to be the big thing there. I mean, it's just that time of year. There's a reason that only the hardiest of promoter will book those races in March and early April and even late April, really, because it's a gamble. But they found a gap in scheduling that I think could... You're not going to be too tied down to point races yet at too many places, maybe a couple in Ohio and whatever else. It'll be interesting to see who takes that weekend off in the area and if anyone does. And then again, like who shows up, because you're not tied down to points. It's a good weekend to go do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. April 27th, 28th. I know we have a couple of tracks up here in Michigan that have started, but there, I don't think there's a lot out there that's really started. And it's interesting you say points, because I have this discussion every single year with people about, oh, well, why don't we see this person? Why don't we see that person? Or why do we only see them the first couple of weeks? Well, you know, they have a good couple of weeks, good first couple of weeks. They're more likely to stay because they're in that points race. And exactly like you said, that early in the year, there's just not a lot of people that are committed to anything yet. I mean, if you want to chase the money, that's going to be a show to go chase some money.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, too, to see, like I said, if the weather plays in their favor and they do get favorable weather, who might show up? Because that increases your travel distance quite a bit. If they know you can show up and it's not going to rain or snow, mm-hmm. for that matter.
Yeah,
that
time snow.
Yeah, yeah, no joke. And it'll be interesting to see. But so some interesting things coming out schedule-wise. And it's always fun. You know, I always lay out, of course, we had the master schedule on the website, but I always lay out, like, my potential dream, no budget incurred schedule. And I go, okay, these are all the races I'd like to go to. And then weed it down to what actually makes sense that all of our listeners and readers are going to read about, and then what the actual budget and time allowance versus like real life and stuff allows, and that's where we kind of weed it down to whatever we do there. But it'll be interesting to see there. And another thing we wanted to talk about is Trevor, you've been chomping at the bit to go iRacing. And
yes.
Yeah, and we were talking about this off the air. I was joking that I'm the worst. Like I think iRacing, the idea of concept of iRacing is great. I just can't figure out where I'm gonna drop like the 30 other things I'd have to drop in my life to make time for it. But midgets are coming out. Dirt midgets on iRacing. So all the virtual racers out there are gonna be able to have their own little, like, you know, Four Crown Nationals practically online. And Kokomo Speedway is coming online. Midgets. I mean, it's not a matter of just watching streaming races from your house. It might not be able to get you out from the VR headset, you know, to be able to go to the racetrack now.
Well, with VR headsets, with 360 cameras, I've often thought about that. I've often thought about when is that tide gonna turn where you're sitting at home, you can get just as good of a view, you know, with a 360 camera. And not have the travel, not have the expense, not have all of that stuff. But back to iRacing, yeah, you're absolutely right. I have been wanting to try that since they came out with Dirt a couple of last year about this time. And then they just announced Kokomo is going to be added, and they're going to add the midgets. And I'm just I'm really excited. I'm trying to get a buddy of mine, Walt Barnes, to build me a PC that can run it. And it will go from there. But yeah, maybe I don't expect I'm going to be any good at it. I'm not usually a video game player, but it's as close as I'm going to ever get to actually trying to drive a race car.
Christmas is coming right around the corner, and you just tell your wife that, you know, it's for the kids. It's for the kids.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That might not play.
Hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, that might not play. So also started this week is the World of Outlaws have their taped delayed racing on, and we were kind of talking about this for a little bit. And you know, as race fans, we've kind of you and I are kind of the same. We digest a lot of on-demand content. This show's on demand, for that matter. A lot of the racing things that I don't attend, I kind of take on it on demand whenever I have time to read about it, watch it. That show's sitting on my DVR right now, and it's sitting there, and I'm waiting to see, you know, have time to actually watch it. and it kind of brought up the topic. When racing's tape delayed, do we still make time to watch it? I don't know, Trevor, if we're the minority or the majority. Personally, I mean, I don't make time out for it. Like, I'm not, it's not like a live sporting event, like a big college basketball or football game, or even a big, like, you know, last weekend I watched the ASCS races streamed online. It wasn't like where I dropped something to watch that when it's tape delayed. But I'll at least get it on the DVR, but there are a lot of times where it just gets to the bottom and cycles through. Where do you stand on this, too? I mean, am I in the minority on this? Where it's, when it's tape delayed, it's on television, it's kind of, I don't know, it's just not something I digest or take in necessarily because of it being tape delayed?
If you're in the minority, I'm right there with you, because I don't either. You know, I'm a cord cutter, so I have, you know, my Apple TV, but I can get anything out there that I want. Doesn't mean I can't do this stuff. And I just don't. I don't watch it tape delayed. It seems it's a good idea. I like the idea of getting it out there to the masses and getting more people with the ability to watch this stuff, but it's still not on that mainstream. Hey, this is the, I'm going to flip through the channels on my TV and I'm going to come across this.
You're not going to set aside a half hour, 8 o'clock on Saturday night to watch a race that happened in July. You know, back when I was like, you know, a kid way back when, I mean, you'd maybe do it on Sunday afternoon when American Sports Cavalcade, but we'd even tape that at times and not even watch it till we had time to watch it. So, I mean, I
remember Thursday Night Thunder. My dad and I used to sit down and watch that.
But that's live. And sporting events are just different. Maybe it's just the way I digest sports as a whole. I don't watch taped sporting events. I mean, like, I'll pause it to go to the restroom. Like, I love technology. I pause my DVR, and I can go to the kitchen and get a snack and come back. I don't mind being behind that 10 minutes. It saves me occasionally when my wife and I might misjudge how long we're out and, let's say, tip or kickoff's at 8 o'clock, and we're back at 8:15. You know I can, from my phone, hit record, and it will be sitting there so I can kind of catch up with it. But tape delayed, I don't know. I mean, in this day and age, I don't, and even if, you know, the availability on demand, and also the factor is that I was actually, it depends, I think, on a race if I was actually there or not. Now, you know, I think I'm more likely to watch something I wasn't at than what I was.
Well, it's interesting that this topic came up, because I was just recently talking with a buddy of mine that I play fantasy football with, and we were talking about, do you think that we could do a fantasy World of Outlaws sprint car league?
There are people that do that. I mean, but it's,
yeah,
see, I'm not a fantasy sports guy, though. I'm probably not the guy to ask.
Well, and that's where we went, is I asked him. I said, you know, one of the things about NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, stuff like that, is the mainstream coverage. If you're into fantasy football or basketball or hockey, baseball, whatever, you are following that game. You're following your players so closely that you don't even need to watch the game to know exactly what happened. I just don't think there's that kind of coverage for even the World of Outlaws, you know, or USAC.
I think you can follow on RaceMod or pretty close to what your guy's doing. I mean, the way you can follow people on RaceMod now, I think you could do that, but yeah, would it, if we had a high level, like if it was an actual series endorsed fantasy league? I don't know. I mean, because I'm the wrong person to ask, because that falls into the iRacing. What 30 other things do I have to drop to have time to do this? You know, I haven't played any fantasy leagues in over a decade, so. Once again, wrong person to ask. It couldn't hurt, I wouldn't think. As long as that's one of those things where I think you have to have a solid provider. If you're going to have it be endorsed, like you're going to say a particular race team's got endorsed, this is our official fantasy league, it's just got to be reliable. And it's got to be a good product. It's got to have decent prize along with it. I think those are the keys there. But as far as circling back to the tape delay thing, I mean, what's kind of crazy, though, is I'll sit down and watch Dirt Vision stuff on demand as I have time to digest it. But the television thing. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I wish I can't put my finger on it. It's not any different than the on-demand if I record it on my DVR, but it just doesn't ever get to the top of my priority list. Maybe I'll figure it out, but don't know.
One of the things for me that bothers me about the television product right now in short track racing, and there are exceptions, absolutely, but the production quality, in today's day and age, you get so used to that HDR and just this, like you're looking out a window clarity, but sometimes you get some of these production quality that it takes you out of the moment. You're more focused on the production quality than you are the action on the track or following the driver and stuff like that. And, you know, I know there's not the budgets available for this type of thing, but it's one of those things that it takes me out of the moment. You talk about that third wall when you're at a movie theater and something happens in a movie that takes you out of the movie. Same thing with racing. It just takes me out of the watching the race that is in front of me.
I'm glad you brought this up because I have to give a shout. I gave a shout out in my column, but I do need to give it. I want to give a verbal shout out to the people over at LucasRacingOil.tv. I had the Kokopa race on, and they bring their full TV production crew there, and I have the online, I don't have the channel, but so they had they have the full TV production crew doing the stream, and the guy doing the audio, I don't know, the team doing the audio was just amazing. I had my headset in, and it sounded as good as you were at the racetrack. I mean, it was an online stream. I'm like, that is the best audio I have ever heard from an online stream. I had my headphones. I'm like, holy smokes, this thing sounds like I'm right there. I mean, a lot of times, you know, I mean, it's online. There's not full TV production going on here, but there was there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was like, wow. It was like watching one of the backhauls if you're, you know, kind of nerdy and had a C-band dish back in the day and can turn off the announcers. It's kind of what it sounded like. And I was just like, wow, that was amazing. So it is out there, like you said. And I hear what you're saying, but, you know, if the cameras aren't following whoever, I mean, luckily it's been pretty good lately. But the ones I do actually remember to watch, but I don't know if we're just getting too busy in life or whatever, but I think it's good that we're a lot of short track racing, especially on the dirt side, stands alone, is not TV dependent. It's not a TV show.
Right.
So, I mean, the product actually brings people to the racetrack, and that's still the primary focus. And as long as we don't lose that, I think we're good. You know, it's going to tide people over for the winter. I mean, there's some people that probably live to see that, you know, just are dying to go to a race and want to see that, you know, on TV, and kudos to them. Maybe they don't have 70 meg internet now like I do, but it can watch just about anything. But I don't know. It's just, like I said, I think we're kind of in agreement. It's just hard to make time for it. And that's the interesting thing.
Well, not only that, but let's face it. If there's something that happens at a racing event that is something that you know, you have to see to believe type of thing, somebody is Facebook Living it, or it's going to be up on Facebook or Twitter within a couple of minutes of it.
The Facebook Live thing, though, doesn't like stop me from going anywhere. Or I don't actually even, I mean, usually it's just like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's like a little blur, a little dot going on a racetrack about 8 miles away, it looks like. It doesn't really do much for me. So, I mean, you know, that's a medium, and I have totally different opinions on how you can use it effectively and differently. It's not just sitting at a stand filming one race car going around, unless your mom just needs to see what you're doing, you know. Can't make it to the racetrack and you're following that one little dot. Hopefully they can see it. But
yeah.
Anyhow.
The last time I watched an event was on my computer, and it was the was it the Thursday night or the Wednesday night at Kokomo for the SmackDown.
Yeah, for the SmackDown, yeah. Yeah.
When they did that for free.
Yeah.
That's the last time I watched something live. I haven't watched anything on TV lately or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm kind of a pay-per-view online racing junkie.
I can't afford it.
Yeah. Well, the way I justify it is the tax write-off. If I bring my lunch for a week, I've made up enough to watch that race online that week. Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at it. So I'm like, all right,
yeah,
I can do that, you know, and well, I'll do it. And usually just for one night, though, usually Friday night or one of the two nights, I'm usually too busy with just stuff around here if I'm not at the racetrack. But and just keeping this monster website running, which is more work than anybody would ever know and, in the background. But just keeping that three-headed beast alone sometimes eats up that time. But, yeah, so anyway, not to beat the horse, but Tape Delay Racing, you know, we're kind of both in agreement there. So, but lots to look forward to. Trevor, so we were talking bucket lists earlier. So what's on your bucket list? Which items are you hoping to knock out in 2018?
Well, I was hoping to knock it out in 2017. We already talked about the kid, though, but Knoxville. I want to go to the Nationals. I want to go to all nights of the Nationals and experience that. And just, you know, one of the things about the Nationals that I'm most excited about going is just to, my dad went a couple of years ago and he talks about how the town embraces the Knoxville Nationals. And I want to experience that. I want to see what that's like and just walk around in the 93 degree heat. And just go to
hey, every it was beautiful last year. For the record, it was beautiful last year. So
thanks, it was
not sweltering. Yeah, you're welcome, buddy. I'm not the one that had a kid in August. Oh, so
I hear you.
So, but it's no. I know a guy that can show you around, show you some cool stuff. So that'll be neat. I hope you can knock that one out. Mine's a little different. I have a really odd one, and geographically, from where I'm positioned, it's almost unbelievable. I've never done this. I have never watched a race in the state of Wisconsin. It was just unbelievable when you think, especially now. I live on the west side of the state. It's like just right around the corner. And I have tried, it's almost Steve Sinclair. I was joking with him and laughing about this at the Brad Doherty Classic last year. Every time I have tried to get the Beaver Dam Raceway or Wilmot or Angel Park, it has rained or locusts or whatever weirdness has happened. It's kept me from getting there. And most of the time it's been rain. It has the same effect in Canada, except it rains out like 3 days earlier instead of me driving all the way there to get rained out. So the people in Wisconsin might not want to hear what race I'm going to go to because they'll want to pack umbrellas and ponchos. But I'm going to knock out a race in Wisconsin this year to say I did it and get that off my bucket list. It's just ridiculous. It's closer than Ohio in some instances of the track. So I really need to get that one knocked out. My second one, I want to do two this year. And I don't know, Fowles might end up being the second one, but there's another one. It depends on flights out of Grand Rapids. I'm geographically kind of in a weird spot. It's hard to find the flight I want out of Grand Rapids to do the races I want always. But I may, I don't know. Depends on vacation time, but, you know, the phrase, go you best young man, might have to happen at least for a weekend. I think we need to strengthen the TJ Sideways brand out there. So, but hopefully once the schedules come out, we'll get a better idea of that. So we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to wrap up this edition of the TJ Sideways podcast. Hi everybody, TJ Buffenbarger here. I want to take a moment to thank everyone for reading TJSlideways.com for the past 21 racing seasons. Without you, this wouldn't be possible. We also have some fine sponsors that make the website and the podcast possible. All-Star Performance, Bailey's Racing Engines, Engine Pro, Maxim Chassis, Oshwegan Speedway, and Slade Shock Technology. Without those people, there's no way we could do things at the level that we want to do them at. No matter what race we go to, this podcast, it makes it all possible for you. So if you have a moment, please click on their banners and support one of our fine sponsors. Now, for more of the TJSlideways.com podcast. Well, Trevor, I think we knocked the rust out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. It was a long time coming, too.
Hopefully I just knocked the rust off, not out. Yeah, appropriate, I goofed up that phrase. after not doing this for 3 months with you over there.
Well, I think both of us are in a position now where we can do it a little bit with a little bit more consistency. So
yeah, hopefully
that'll be good.
Yeah, that will be good. So thank you for listening. Of course, don't forget, if you want to keep up on the TJSideways.com podcast with Trevor and I, whatever interviews we come up with, you can subscribe via iTunes, the Google Play Store, Stitcher. You can also visit the podcast section on TJSideways.com, visit the archives, over 150 episodes. Probably half of them are good. You can probably check out those. But Trevor, thank you again for joining us and trying to get through the off season. We're gonna try to come up with some interesting things to talk about all the way through winter, right up until next season.
Yeah, if you're listening and you know how to get a hold of us in any way, shape, or form, either me on Facebook or TJ through the website or Facebook, you have any ideas of something you want to hear or want us to talk about, I'm game.
Oh, great. We're going to open it to the masses. So, all right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not afraid. We'll see what happens. So if you have any topics you'd like us to tackle, go ahead and contact us on Twitter at TJ Slideways, the TJSlideways.com Facebook page, also the contact page at TJSlideways.com. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to the TJ Slideways podcast.